Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, everybody? My name is Tammy Johnson, and this is Senior Star 9. As other people may know me, that we have a very special guest. We have Young Rod coming through to give us an interview about her life, her music, and things that, you know, inspire her, as well as the other things that she is going to be taking on. So a little bit about her before we get started. I have a quote: "Music is passion, and I am passion in the flesh." That's the quote that she gave us, and I think that's a quote that a lot of people may not always just directly resonate with, but it makes a lot of sense. You know what I mean? So she is music, to put it, you know, for the layperson. She is music. So I'm thrilled to have her on today. So I'm just going to give you guys a little bit of background about her. All right. Young Rod is a young, upcoming female MC. Her flow has been compared to, like, Lauryn Hill, Queen Latifah, and MC Light. Her mission is to provide positive role models and influences to communities similar to her own. She's also admired by her colleagues and supporters as a philanthropist, artist, and humanitarian. She has a history of work with a list of nonprofit organizations which are community-oriented. This artist is definitely in a league of her own. She represents every facet of her being, from educational success to freedom of self-expression. You can find her on Twitter at YoungRod2G, that's Y-U-N-G-R-O-D 2. I'm sorry, YUNGROD, the number 2G. And then you can also really find her everywhere, YoungRod2G. Especially on Instagram, same thing, YoungRod2G. So make sure that you check her out there. So while we're waiting on our guests to actually get here, there are a few things, you know, that are happening. Not necessarily just in the LGBT community, but just, you know, currently things that are happening that you can kind of feel like is a boiling point between the races a little bit, but not so much the races as much as it is against the establishment or the law of law enforcement. We have the case of Sandra Bland, a young lady that got pulled over. She was in Texas. She just moved to Texas for a job. And when she moved over there, she was actually, I think, on her way to an interview. I'm not sure, but I know that she got stopped, pulled over for a wrong signal. Or I think it was she didn't use the right signal, or a traffic signal violation, something like that, some bullshit. So, you know, with that, it was like the cop pulled her over for a minor traffic violation, followed her, made it, and then didn't put his lights on. She pulled over, and then he came over. And at the tipping point, he wasn't going to give her a ticket, but he came to the car asking her to put out her cigarette. And then she was like, "No, you know, why do I have to put out my cigarette in my car?" And then he proceeded to threaten to light her up with the taser and pull her out of the car and everything, and he pulled her out, and it was terrible, you know, because his ego got bruised. So now we have that situation that's brewing. What happened with that was, and it's tragic, but she ended up going, being put in jail, and where she allegedly killed herself, hung herself with the trash bag. Now, it's a lot of inaccuracies in the story, but the thing about it is, it's people are angry. There's a hashtag on Twitter. See if I can get the hashtags. People have made a Facebook page for it. If I die in police custody, basically, you know, saying if I die in police custody, it was not a suicide. And that's what they're saying it is, which we really don't believe that. So make sure that you check out Sandra Bland. Say her name, Sandra Bland. That's the hashtag. Check her out. Check out her video. She was very conscious, very much into the community, knew her rights, knew what was going on. And she knew what was happening. And the main thing about that is people wanted to say that, oh, she said she was depressed. So she said she was depressed and admitted to attempting suicide before. And the thing about that was, when she attempted the suicide, of course, she was not successful, but they apparently tried to use that against her. You know what I'm saying? So to say that this is what she was going to commit suicide, and they even had a young lady that claimed she was in the cell, I guess besides Sandra, who said that she was distraught and all that. I really don't believe it. I think it's bullshit. I think that they clearly are, you know, it's a cover-up. I feel like it's a cover-up. But make sure that you guys, it's a petition going around. I'll definitely find that information out later and post to the Rainbow Rendezvous page. But I think I got my guest on, so I'm just going to go ahead and bring her on right now. Without further ado, we got Young Rod. What's up?
Hey, what's up? How you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm glad to finally get you here. You heard me rambling, but, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on, and I know you're very, very vocal, you know, when it comes to any of the social injustices that have been going on lately, as well as people, you know, the things that people, regular people are going through. So I'm really glad to get you on. So, you know, how is your Sunday going so far?
Oh, man, it's going easy, like it's supposed to be.
Okay. I dig. Awesome. Well, I'm going to go ahead and kick this thing right on off. And the first thing I want to know is, you know, I feel like you have some very wise words to offer people, even if they're just reading your posts or listening to your music. How do you feel that you're leaving a positive impact on the world?
You know, I actually have gotten to a point where I haven't focused on what kind of impact that I'm leaving.
Right.
I can tell you that through experience, the guy I called my little brother, who was my mentee for about 6 months to a year, and some of the people who are very deeply involved in, not necessarily in my musical career, but, like, my process of growth, we've mm-hmm. all had an equal amount of positive influence on each other in a sense of reinforcing values or instilling new values and raising consciousness. And if I do have an effect, then it would be in those types of efforts through something like that, you know, just being a good person and being good mm-hmm. to people.
Okay. Now, what's something that your fans would be most surprised to learn about you?
I really and truly, I won't say that I'm not creative. I'm not as explosively creative as some artists are. I don't write a song or make an album in less than 2 to 3 months. Sometimes it takes 2 to 3 years. It can take half a decade for me. I'm more so deeply involved in the networking side of music, I guess you could say.
Okay. All right, the networking side.
Yeah.
All right, well, let me ask you about the networking side. How do you feel that social media has impacted that, or how has it been useful to you in networking?
It's a gift and a curse. because you have instances where, like, Meek Mill is throwing a temper tantrum on Twitter because somebody didn't retweet his album. And to be honest, if I got a dollar for every person that didn't retweet my album, I wouldn't need them to retweet my album. so, I mean, I guess I can understand where he comes from in the sentiment, but that's the gift and the curse. You have that freedom of expressing yourself and how you feel in the moment. Yet, not everybody actually, they don't necessarily stay in that state. So you have that slight little moment where you can put something out there that you really and truly should just write down in a notebook, expand upon on a poem or a short story or something like that, instead of just sharing it with the world. So social media has definitely taken out privacy, and it's more so we do it willingly. We kind of just X that out.
Okay. All right. Now, I want to know, because you named hip-hop pioneers like the Brat, Public Enemy, Kumo D, among others, as major influences. Why do you feel like they influenced you so much?
The Brat was definitely influential. Like Kumo D, I'm familiar with the name. I can't necessarily identify anything, any project that he's actually done that's ever influenced me. And it's more so because that's just not my time, that's not my generation within the genre. Nor is Public Enemy, but I guess I can kinda see where the resemblance would be because of the simple fact that they did speak on topics that affected the people and not so much, you know, issues that would keep us entertained.
Right.
But, like, the Brat was very influential. She was like, okay, I don't care what any rapper has ever said. You first learn your flow by learning the lyrics to your favorite rapper at that time. And I was like 3 or 4 years old when the Brat was hot. And like for whatever reason, she was one of the very few hip hop artists that my mom would allow me to listen to.
Wow.
So I knew all of her music. Like I'll repost the picture on a Flashback Friday, but I have a picture where I have my hair with all the mini little ponytails and the berets and shit. I was functified, like so functified. I'll send it to you. I'll send it to you.
You have
my permission to shout me out Friday, because I was definitely feeling myself back then. And, like, I really felt like I had done something because I learned, the first thing that I learned was her verse to So Funkified, and it was like, oh, man, okay, well, we're going to try to step out of the box a little bit. So my influences are more so, along with the Brat, there's MC Light, Queen Latifah, N.W.A., a Tribe Called Quest. It's more so that era, like the mid to late 90s. That's the era of hip hop that I grew up in. I don't know too much about Kumo D or Public Enemy. I know what they're about and I know what they stand for, and I respect everything that they have provided as pioneers in the hip hop game, but I don't know if I can say that I completely identify with that era of hip hop. More so because I'm a little bit too young to be in touch with that. Like, somebody's gonna have to school me on this for real.
Well, I don't know. I mean, that era when you thinking about Kumo D, Public Enemy, people like Eric B and Rakim, they had their own little thing going on. You know what I mean? But I can definitely see where you got N.W.A.,
They were
now,
kind of before their time, though.
Rakim was definitely someone that, like, I caught on to just being, like, a little bit around hip-hop head. So,
mm-hmm.
like, his flow was gearing more towards what was going on with hip-hop back then. Because I was born in 87. Gangsta rap was born in 86. So there was, like, a completely new genre of hip-hop being exposed to our community at that time. And it was, like,
mm-hmm.
a new evolution of basically seeing what you see on a daily basis type of ordeal and a different type of struggle. So, yeah, like, I know that Public Enemy, they were, like, really, really about, like, social issues. I thought that was dope. But the only thing I really know about them is Flavor Flav and the Flavor of Love.
I'm telling you, check the one song I need you to check out from Public Enemy that had Flavor Flav. I don't know if Flavor Flav was on the hook or whatever, but I think it's like 911 is a joke or 911. I don't know if you ever heard that, but that is one that I think you probably would like. For real.
I'm showing my youth a little bit, right, with that question.
Let's move on. We got a song. And I need you to give us a little bit of background, right?
All right. It's
we got
talking about nothing, or is it addiction? Which one is it?
Addiction.
Okay.
Addiction.
Yes.
Tell
That's
us about
favorite.
That.
That's, ain't it beautiful? Have you listened to
it? I didn't get a chance to get out. I wanted to have, like, my first reaction while I'm live on the show. You feel me? So I can let you know how I felt about it.
Well, I'll pitch the song and, like, we'll just listen to it because, like, at that point in time, I was at a place where I understood that we all have fixes. But I'll get deeper into detail about, like, what happened as far as the process of writing and some of the experiences that I had that influenced that.
Okay. Cool. All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and play that. So I'm going to put you on brief hold, and we're going to play that right now.
Trying to get a fix, enjoy myself and ease my mind a little bit. I'm just trying to get away. Let me do me, give a fuck what nobody gotta say. It's a I'm just trying to get away. I'm just trying to get away. Say that you love me, if only for a while. Ease the stress of my day with your beautiful smile.
Yeah.
Faces change it, the case remains the same. It's love overboard, you drowned in my affection. Took that thing in a whole new direction. Now worse than fast destruction is my lover's choice of weapon. Got me stressed. So I got booze and weed to feed the belly of the beast. Can't sleep for hiding all of my secrets. Deep in the dungeon of grief, safe, lock, and key. Feeling like fuck the world, it ain't no stopping me. I'm being seized, you say property, so you ain't going nowhere. You see these papers, I own that debt. No, you won't be scared, just calm the hell down. I wanna enjoy my world, even if you all around, baby.
I mean, why do you have to start your day off like this? I just don't get it.
Get away. I'm just trying to get away. Yeah. Now it's of the hustle. Can't let my bad habit be the cause of the struggle. That's bad carrots for this young rabbit. And I ain't no buster. I'm one like drugs with this snub nose tucked under my coat just like a rug. I hear these niggas hustle backwards. Me, I got a plug off in the backwoods. And I can do anything a Mac could. Knocking off dumb, cause you know my aim's that good. Precision's my religion into doing something different. I do it for the kids and they know that I ain't kidding. Middle aged white woman, her repairs are politicking. Got it written. Didn't think my mind was that keen, but the mission will it always forever be? Keep the business clean, get the green, cause I know that she a fiend. I just tryna get a feet. Enjoy herself and ease her mind a little bit. She just trying to get away. Girl, go ahead and do you. Fuck what nobody gotta say. Don't get your feet. Enjoy yourself and ease your mind a little bit. You just trying to get away. You just trying to get away.
To some female artists, you know what I mean? Like, I always will support female artists, but your track goes with a lot of people I can't rock with, but Addictions is that one. Like, that's that one right there. Do you perform that one a lot?
No, I don't actually. I have been pretty latent as far as performing is concerned. More so because I've been focused on my educational path instead of the music scene. So that's taken away from me hopping on stage all the time and being at everybody's shows and stuff like that. I show support when I can, but, you know, it's a lot bigger than just music.
Okay, dig that. So what kind of goals have you set for yourself surrounding your music career?
Well, I've said it many times, but I really and truly feel like myself and some of the artists I've had the pleasure of interacting with here in my hometown will be an essential part of establishing Birmingham a little bit more as far as the music industry is concerned. We're definitely looked over a lot, and we contribute way more than we're given credit. Like, we've given you divas, you know what I'm saying? We've given you the Supremes, and I believe that as of now, right now we're popping in the underground scene, but in the future, we will be more so in the forefront and recognized for our contribution.
Okay. All right. Now, you know, I know a lot of people don't put themselves in the box of just being strictly like an LGBT artist. But being that you just so happen to fall into, you know, both categories, how do you feel like, you know, artists such as yourself can stand out? Do you feel like it's because to me sometimes I see a lot of LGBT artists
and a lot of them look the same, and a lot of them rap about the same stuff, and, you know, it gets kind of boring. But how do you feel like, you know, people can stand out as an, you know, as LGBT artists?
Well, I mean, as artists in general, but more specifically for the LGBT artists, not to attempt to conform to what you believe is palatable. And yes, it is important to know what it is that your platform wants, what it is that the people are looking for, but you don't have to always conform to what you think is the norm. Especially in this day and age, we are definitely in a time where the norm doesn't seem to adhere to the overall goal of the human race, because everybody wants to, you know, everybody wants to be happy. Everybody wants to have joy in their daily lives and not necessarily have to deal with negativity on a large scale, at a large amount on a regular basis. So I would definitely encourage any artist to stay true to yourself, first and most foremost, because the people that do support you, the people that do connect to the music that you put out there, if you switch up, when you switch up, and it's not necessarily something that, that comes over a period of time and growth, and it's just like switch up and you're really showing exactly who you always have been, then they're going to notice. So if you're really about the music and you're about the fame, your platform is going to take notice when you start to show face, I guess, when the mask disappears. And that's something that you have to be very, very wary of. Just be upfront and honest with your platform from the jump, and you won't have those complications.
Well, you know what? That sounds like a lot of relationships I've been in. Just be you at the beginning, okay? In whatever you do. So, you know what I mean? That's right. People can apply that to every part of their lives.
Every part of your life. And, like, especially with being an artist, like, you're making a... What we fail to realize is that as artists, people make a connection with our sound, with our music, simply because of the fact that it's something that they can identify with, whether it's in their daily lives or it's just something that they came over. Like, for instance, the song addiction. Some people might be living with an addiction on a daily basis. That's the reason that they can connect to it. Whereas there may be a small number of people or a larger number of people that have overcome their addictions, yet they can still identify with that state of mind. And that type of honesty, it helps you out in the long run. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to run the risk of losing your platform because they find out you got a ghostwriter or you're biting people's bars or whatever. there is definitely a lack of honesty in the music. Oh, every tree in Alabama was thrown at that one. there is definitely a need or a desire for transparency in today's artists. And I'm pretty sure it's more so because nowadays people are a lot more informed. It's so easy for your business to be put out there like nobody's business. So,
man.
I mean, you know, in the famous words of one of my first artists, yo, cover your six.
There you go. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. So, you know, nah, because that was funny, because at first, what you said kind of slipped, but I mean for like a few seconds, and then I was like, oh, man, that's cold. Six guys going to be upset. But, but...
About six dudes. I shouldn't even be on their radar, though, so it's good.
You know, well, you never know. You never know. Yeah. But it's all good, though. He'll be all right. In the interview you did with CrazyFellas.net, you say that the artists are like walking corporations. So
we would like to know
what you mean by that. Like, what does that mean?
And this is speaking from a personal perspective, because I don't know what every artist has to to offer. But I have ideas. You know, I have strategies that I'm not going to say I've put in place, but I am definitely working towards. And what most corporations are looking for is they're looking for think tanks and artists.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? So they're not, and nowadays they're not looking for an artist to invest into and build and eventually you blow up. No, you have to have a buzz now. That's why it's going so hard nowadays. You think it's all about numbers, but it's not about numbers. Your buzz is not about numbers at all. It's about your consistency.
That's one characteristic of a good brand. You're right. That consistency.
Yeah.
Personal brand. You're right.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay. Now, what we're about to do now, we have the next track, because I know we got a little bit, you know, of a time constraint, but I definitely want to play this one, and it's the TBN. And I want to know more about that one.
Oh, okay. So both tracks are actually on the LP Controversy, and this is a remake of the original Talking About Nothing, because the first one I didn't have the intro into it, and I chose that particular intro because at that point in my life, like, I really felt where Kanye was coming from, because he has put so much, and you can't say, well, maybe you should just invest more when you've invested $13 million trying to empower yourself, and you've been compromised in such a way that you feel completely helpless. And I'm pretty sure he's grown. I've seen that he's grown from that point. You know, Kanye, he's definitely been influential in my growth as an artist, just watching him do his thing. The dude is like, I ain't going to go so far as to say he's a god, but, like, he's definitely getting there. Him and Jay-Z are very influential in my musical career, as well as some of the artists that I connect with on a personal level. So I did Talking About Nothing. That's what TBN stands for, Talking About Nothing. And that's really and truly, that's what I meant. Like, whether it's the media or it's, you know, people on a regular basis, you can go through your timeline and you see a lot of people talking about nothing. More complaints or stunts, one of the two, but nothing that would actually contribute to the betterment of everyone's quality of life. So, yeah, I went off on the deep end, and I created this track.
All right. Well, I'm just going to play a little snippet because I want people to go out and get the whole thing. You know what I'm saying? And we're going to go into after we play this track. So I'm going to go ahead and play that right now, put you back on a brief hold, and we're going to launch that.
I'm standing up and I'm telling you, I am Warhol. I am the number one most impactful artist of our generation. I am Shakespeare in the flesh. Walt Disney, Nike, Google. Now who's going to be the Medici family and stand up and let me create more? Or do you want to marginalize me till I'm out of my moment?
Or why don't you empower yourself and don't need them and do it yourself?
Halfway.
Take a few steps back.
Where you
this world, so what am I time? Living this life is not even mine. Stop, pause, press, rewind. Said I'm out of my mind. Out of this world, so out of your time. Living this life is not even mine. Tour date 2055. Oh, now let's get back to life. Steady judging the kid like you living it, right? One love from the kid like you giving it, right? Well, I'm guessing this time I don't give a shit, right? You feeling the life, so feeling the heat. Stay mugging and grilling and willing to be. Thugging and chilling and still in the streets. Just fucking and killing if you want to be. Talking about.
Controversy was produced by one individual. Shout out to Corey Savage. I really appreciate him, more so because of the growth that I've experienced as an artist while working with him than just the beats. You know, it's way bigger than music, yeah.
Oh, yeah. See, now, I like how you keep, you know, reiterating that point that it's bigger than music. Bigger than music. More than people realize. But that track goes, the intro was epic. Of course, that interview, like, oh my God, that was epic. A lot of people think he's an asshole, but I really, really, really respect Kanye so much. Like, I really like that guy.
Yeah.
I like him. But that,
like
that definitely went in, you know.
Thank you.
So,
thank you.
You know, what I want to know, and I'm sure what everybody else wants to know as well, is when is the album coming out, and can you tell us a little bit more about, you know, about how it came about and, you know, what we can expect from it?
Well, the album was actually a gift. Back in the days when I wasn't necessarily living completely right, not because I wanted to, but, you know, due to circumstances, I ran across a Chicago hustler, and long story short, he owed me for a deal that went bad, and his payment to me was an outline of a project that we had already spoke about. We actually sat down and had a deep conversation. He's experienced a lot, just, you know, being a black man in inner city poverty, and we connected on a lot of things. And he said straight up, you know, I have this project, and I would do it. However, I'm not where I need to be as a spirit, you know, to portray and give that message. But I think you got it, and I want you to share it with the world. So, you know, he gave it to me, and that was probably like back in 2011, 2012. Like, you know, I met this guy, and I've been patiently working towards, you know, just centering myself and putting myself in the place of being to where I can give the message for each individual song and, you know, making sure that the sound overall is pleasant, you know. Because at the end of the day, it's really important that the listener likes what they listen to.
Yeah. I like what I've heard so far. Definitely a fan of the instrumentation that was used, the instrumentalist that's using back for your tracks. I was like, sound like a bit of trap mixed with something else, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
I was digging that. I was digging that.
I am known in Birmingham as a gangster geek, so, you know, there's a little trap, but, you know, I got to... And on that particular song, the producer actually said, he said, I want to give you get poetic, You know, I've been making music for you for a while, and I just haven't heard you finesse a beat the way I feel you should. So that was a gift from him. He was just waiting.
Wow.
On me.
Wow. Okay.
When I say it's bigger than music, it is definitely bigger than music. Another bit of advice I can give to artists is, like, if you do have a genuine connection with people within the music industry, you make sure that you nurture them bad for it, because in the end, it benefits both of you.
All right.
So,
I hope people are listening.
I hope they are.
Now, well, I'm pretty sure they will, you know what I'm saying? And some people might not get it right away, but they'll get it one way or the other. So we got a few minutes left, but I do want to ask you one more question, and I'm going to let you do your shout-outs. But I wanted to talk to you more about, you know, how you're breaking into the acting and screenwriting world.
Yo, it's really divine. The whole me breaking into acting, because I'm not necessarily an actor, y'all, and I consider myself to be an artist first and foremost, which would, mm-hmm. I guess, entail everything. This particular play is called Carry the Torch, and I know it will be debuting. The first dress rehearsal will be, I believe it's August 26th. I'll confirm the date.
Okay.
And y'all just stay plugged into me as far as social media is concerned, and I'll keep you updated. But it's definitely a beautiful play, right? And I see it moving a lot of lives. It's very forward thinking. Shout out to Faye Bay. She's another artist from Birmingham that's definitely making moves. And the co-writer of this play, right? And it addresses a lot of our history as Americans that we haven't necessarily, it's like the big elephant in the room. And it's in a very, very polite, sweet kind of way. Some of the scenes may be a little bit hard to swallow at first, but it's definitely an experience for myself. I actually have to get going to the screen reading in a minute.
Okay.
And as far as my own involvement in screenwriting, I'm working on a couple of things. I would like to get into writing sitcom and bring back the idea of family-oriented sitcoms into our community. And maybe some cartoons, who knows? But I've definitely, with this acting bit, I've definitely considered journeying into this particular venture, more so not to tell my own story, but there's
right.
a couple of friends that I have, and they have stories that could positively influence a large amount of people if shared in the right way.
Right. Well, I'll look forward to that. We got like about 1 minute left, so I want you to go ahead and get your shout outs in and just, you know, put it out there, any message you want to get across. We got like a minute left.
First off, shout out to my mom, even though she won't be listening. More likely, she's cooking somewhere after church. And every artist that I've interacted with in the past couple of years, especially here in Birmingham, shout out to BG Supreme, Chaos the Rapper. Y'all been holding it down and definitely
right.
making an influence in the LGBT community. I admire what y'all are doing, and keep it up. Shout out again to my producer and my little brother, Young Henny, the second half of CTM. You know, we're doing mm-hmm. big things within the next coming years, y'all. So y'all be on the lookout for my little brother.
Well, I don't want to cut you off, and I don't want to cut you off, but I know it'll,
that's
like,
all
cut
I got,
it off
Mike.
In a sec.
If
but.
Everybody, hey, if I know you and you listening right now, I'm fucking with you. Holla at me later on in the week if you got my number. Shoot me a text, inbox, whatever. Y'all know I'm really, really sociable. I'm not hard to approach at all. So shouts out to y'all and my supporters, like 1,000.
Yo, I appreciate you. It's probably going to cut off in a sec, but thank you so much for sharing, you know, your time with us today and